I've slightly amended the reading tonight. I understand it's on a board somewhere. Yeah, it is. I've added a second reading to it. In fact, we won't read the whole of chapter 5 of Matthew. We'll read the first 12 verses. But if you'd also like to have a finger in Luke chapter 18, we'll pick up at verse 10 and read the well-known parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee. Let's start in Matthew's Gospel and chapter 5 and hear the word of the Lord together. And seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And then turning to Luke chapter 18 and picking up at verse 10, Jesus told this parable. "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." We trust that God will speak to us through his holy and precious and infallible word. Our text this evening is Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I know a chap who had a Porsche. And then he ordered the Ferrari. He didn't sell the Porsche, he kept it. And the Ferrari arrived. And that somehow didn't satisfy him. And now the Maserati has arrived as well. And he has a garage full of them. But he's one of the saddest men you could ever hope to meet. These things haven't given him joy at all. People spend all their lives trying to make themselves happy, And many think that the answer lies in their possessions. And yet Jesus once said to his followers, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. Some people think that the answer lies in a wild life, sowing their wild oats. Others, those of us getting older, think the answer lies in a quiet, peaceful life. Whatever people try, they may find a little fleeting happiness, sometimes, often, at the expense of others. I can make myself happy, but it may cost your happiness. But people find they are never completely happy. What does it mean to be blessed? Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Are you really happy? And is it a happiness that enables you to face all that life throws at you? Or is it only the kind that keeps you happy as long as you bury your head in the sand and ignore all that's going on around you? Jesus preached this Sermon on the Mount. It's over three chapters long. And he begins by teaching his disciples the secret of happiness. He doesn't use the word for happy. He uses a word that means so much more than that. Blessed. It means to be inwardly happy, completely happy, content within one's soul. Blessed by God's presence in your life. That sort of inner happiness. And in the course of this sermon, and I've read it many times over 40 years now, do you know, Jesus doesn't once mention Ferraris or Maseratis for that matter. Instead of talking about possessions, he talks about the character of the person who is completely happy, who is blessed. If I asked you to count your many blessings, as the song says, you probably start, ladies, with your husbands, or perhaps not, I don't know. You go on to your children and your grandchildren, if you have them, to your family in general. Then your thoughts would turn to your health and perhaps your house and your car and things like that. And yet, we can have all these things and still have a void, an emptiness within, can't we? Jesus ignores all those sort of things, and he describes a person whose relationship with God makes them complete. I suppose if we really got down to it, we'd say that our relationships make us complete. But ultimately, it's our relationship with God that defines us and makes it clear whether we are truly blessed, truly content, truly inwardly happy. How is your relationship with God tonight? Do you have that? Are you blessed with God? Perhaps you think even without God you're happy. Perhaps you think that nothing could add to your happiness, and no change of circumstances could detract from your happiness. If you think that, then you might as well switch off tonight, because I've got nothing more to give you. God has got nothing to offer you. But if you know that that is inadequate, if you have a sense of incompleteness within yourself, if you have a need within your life, a need of that relationship with him, then keep listening and examine yourself in the light of what Jesus has to say to his disciples, so that we might learn the secret of complete happiness. In listing these characteristics, we call them the Beatitudes, the blessings. And the first one is this one: blessed are the poor in spirit. Why does Jesus put this one first? It's no accident. He puts it first because when God begins to work in your life and my life to bring us to Christ, this feeling of being poor in spirit is the very first thing that we begin to feel. It's obviously what my namesake, Peter the fisherman, felt early on in his contact with Jesus. We find it recorded in Luke's Gospel and other places. Jesus is teaching by the side of the Sea of Galilee, and there's such a crowd gathered around him that he's reached a point where he can't be seen by the crowd now, because he's on the same level, on the edge of the sea there. And so he commandeers Simon Peter's boat. Simon has just finished fishing from the night shift, as it were, and he's drawn his boat into the shore, and Jesus takes control of it and stands there in the helm, am I right? Yes, I think so, and preaches from there and tells Simon to push out a little way from shore so that the people can see him and his voice can carry over the crowd. And after he's taught them, he tells Simon Peter to sail the boat out a little further, and this time to put out the nets so that he can catch fish. Simon Peter's been fishing all night, and he's caught nothing. And I'm sure I'm not reading too much into the situation to think, if I were an expert fisherman, and this chap who obviously isn't told me to cast my nets out, I'd be a little reluctant, especially after a night of catching nothing. And yet, he does as he's told by the Lord, because he's already met this man and he realizes there's something quite remarkable about him. And he casts the net over the side, and within moments the net is so full that it begins to break under the weight, and they have to signal to the other boat to come over, their companions nearby, and to help them. And together they get the nets on board, and there are so many fish, we're told, that the boats sag from the weight in the water. And Peter is amazed. Who is this fellow? And we're told that he falls down on his knees and he says to the Lord Jesus, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Peter was suddenly conscious that he was in the presence of someone so remarkable that he felt poor in spirit. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Well, it's nothing to do with being financially poor, being broke in the bank. It's to do with being broke, being bankrupt spiritually, to know that you are spiritually empty, lacking within. In a sense, it means not to be full of yourself. How do you feel about yourself? this evening? That's a good test, isn't it? Do you feel self-satisfied? Do you feel self-sufficient? Do you feel self-confident, self-assured? Then you're not poor in spirit. That was the problem with the Pharisee in the parable that Jesus told. That's why we read that. He was the religious leader of Jesus' day. And Jesus' assessment of all the Pharisees was that they were confident of their own righteousness. They were self-confident, you see. And Jesus tells the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector being the lowest of the low, of course, because he is a traitor to the Jews, someone in the service of the Roman Empire, and therefore someone who's betrayed his own country. And the Pharisee prays in this way, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Now, that was a true statement. The Pharisee was not any of those things. But nevertheless, that didn't make him right with God. It didn't make him right before God. Jesus says, to be right with God, we need to be humble before him. We need to be broken. We need to know that we are spiritually bankrupt. We need to be poor in spirit. To be poor in spirit is to know that you're lacking before God. I remember a time many years ago when I went to chapel because a girlfriend persuaded me to. Not my wife, who sat down there smiling up at me this evening, but a previous girlfriend persuaded me to go to chapel with her. And I went along because one does what one's told by a woman, doesn't one, gentlemen? And I remember when the collection plate came round, I took out my wallet and I took out a nice, crisp 10-shilling note. Those of you who don't understand what a 10-shilling note, ask someone with grey hair after the service and they'll explain it to you. A 10-shilling note, and I put that in the collection bag as it came round. And I can remember thinking to myself, well, God, you must be very pleased with me, because I know I don't come very often, but I've probably put in this collection plate more than any of the others that were there that evening. And I was so pleased with myself and so proud of myself. And I thank God that years later, I was the opposite of that, broken, and knowing that I was broken, and knowing that my righteousness, my best, was as filthy rags before God, and I had nothing to offer him, and my 10 shillings counted for very little when the cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to him. I realized I was empty. Like me, like the Apostle Peter, have you realized that before God, you are empty? You are lacking. Lacking what? Well, lacking righteousness. That's why Jesus goes on in a moment or two's time to say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Lacking rightness before God. The Christian is someone who hungers for that, who thirsts for it, who must have it, because they're very, very aware that they don't have it. Are you very aware of your sin? Even now, Christian, when you sin, is your conscience very tender? Or can you just pass it off? I'm forgiven. No, no. Are you very conscious of your sin? And the more you try to deal with it, the more conscious you become. Perhaps you feel as Peter felt, that you ought to join him and say, "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful woman." Perhaps you could join the tax collector who Jesus said would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." Do you feel like that? Do you feel that in the presence of God, you are totally inadequate, totally in need? If you don't, there's no hope for you, my friend. But if you do feel like that, then take heart, because there's every hope. Because Jesus said of the tax collector who felt that way, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other." Those who are poor in spirit and know that they're poor in spirit, those who are aware of their sin, those who know their need of forgiveness, these are the ones who are forgiven by God. That's why Jesus pronounces them blessed. What did I say the word meant? Completely happy, satisfied, filled within. Why are they completely happy? Well, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." What does he mean, "theirs is the kingdom of heaven"? He doesn't mean simply that they will be accepted into heaven. He means that having been forgiven, they are accepted into the kingdom of heaven on earth now. That is, that they are born again, that some miraculous change has taken place, and they have become members of God's kingdom here on earth. Do you know the hymn by John Newton? "Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God." The last verse says, "Saviour, if of Zion city I through grace a member am, let the world deride or pity, I will glory in thy name." Newton is saying that by the grace of God, he, the slave trader, he, the foul sinner, has become a citizen of Zion, a member of the kingdom of God. You can be a member of Mysacumer Evangelical Church, Mount Pleasant, is it called? You can be a member here, but you may not be a member of the heavenly Zion. Do you know the difference in that? Do you know for certain that you are a member there, a member of God's kingdom on earth, long before you become a member of the church here? Is that the way you've come to God? Rather than trying to justify yourself as the Pharisee did, you've come to God very aware and very conscious of your sin, confessing it and asking his forgiveness for it. And rather than have a self-confidence that leaves a sort of nagging doubt within, because you know that any confidence you have in yourself is completely unfounded, rather than have that, you have an assurance from God that you truly are forgiven, justified, adopted into his family, received into his kingdom. It's that assurance that causes us to be blessed, to be completely happy, to be satisfied, to be filled. Because in Jesus Christ, God has forgiven you. God has accepted you. Have you not come to him in that way? Have you come with yourself, with an offering of something about yourself? That's not the way to come. Come to him now. Come empty, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Don't wait till you feel worthy. Come because you feel unworthy. Come and confess your sin. Come and beg him to forgive you. Not to depart from you, but on the contrary, to draw near to you and to forgive you. And he will bless you because he's promised to. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen.